This is a rain rerun.
We'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of January 7th, this is the Rain Report. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. I'll bet you have received email from the University of Phoenix at one time or another. Yes, it's a real university. It is unlikely, however, you've heard of the University of Amateur Radio. It doesn't exist. Or does it? Just ask Rich Moseson, W2VU, editor of CQ Magazine and editorial director of CQVHF and Popular Communications.
The University of Amateur Radio kind of gelled in my mind as I was walking across a real university campus. I was there helping to teach a ham class. As I was walking past the buildings, it was nighttime, the lights were on, you could see into all the classrooms. There were, of course, a lot of classes going on with students there, but there was also a lot of other stuff going on. You walk past the art building, you could see students working on art projects. You walk past the theater, there was a class going on in one room with dance movements and things like that. And then some other people practicing some dance stuff up in the lobby. Everybody was doing things. It was very busy, and it was really a learning by doing atmosphere. And our ham class fit right into that, because in addition to the in-class activities, the lecture basically, we had gone out on the roof to look at antennas. We had tried to make some contacts. We were doing demos. And it occurred to me as I was walking across the campus that there's a lot of similarities between the everyday education process that goes on in ham radio and a university, except that there's no campus for the University of Amateur Radio, and I started envisioning one. An international studies building where you had DXers getting together to discuss the latest DX expeditions and techniques for breaking through pile-ups. And you might have a graduate-level course on helping a telecommunications administration in a country set up an amateur radio licensing program. And then you'd have a social sciences building, and you could be working on basic emergency communications techniques in the freshman class and maybe higher-level class. You'd have students working with emergency management officials on getting amateur radio as an integral part of emergency response plans. Then you could go to the Earth Science Building. You might have one group of hams studying gray line propagation and another group investigating long-delayed echoes and another building antennas. You could go to the Radio Sports Center, get together with the contesters who are practicing for the next major on-air competition, you know, maybe planning a trip to the Caribbean for spring break, which just happens to coincide with the CQ Worldwide WPX contest at the end of March. There are things that go on every day in ham radio, not in a building, not in a classroom. But the education process is there, and it's a big part of what we do and what we are as hams. We're constantly learning and teaching. One of the fascinating things to me about this class that we were doing was that two of the instructors were brand new hams themselves. They had just gotten their licenses earlier in the year at the last running of this course, and they were coming back as instructors to help out, and they were doing it for two reasons. One, to pass on what they'd learned already to new people, but also to reinforce what they'd learned by having to learn more about it and be more solid on it in order to teach it. This is very typical of the way we educate ourselves and then educate others as hams. Of course, there are some differences between a real university and the University of Amateur Radio. The biggest one, of course, is there's no tuition. But then again, you never graduate either. We don't have degrees. You don't have to declare a major. You can drop a course at any time. But of course, there are people who declare majors and become totally immersed in some aspect of the hobby, whether it's VHF operating, moon bounce, or contesting, and they may become worldwide experts in the field. Again, very similar to what you might encounter on a college campus. I had just found the parallels to be fascinating and worth looking at and writing about.
We do, nevertheless, have amateur radio actually being part of the curriculum at real universities.
Absolutely. Not only at universities, but at the secondary school level and occasionally elementary school level as well. And one of the great things about ham radio, and underappreciated, is its value as a general educational tool. I once put together a package of information about ways in which ham radio could be used as a tool to enhance curriculum in public school. And you can work ham radio into virtually every subject area. The most obvious ones are science and math, but you can also use it in English classes in language and grammar, spelling, especially if you're using Morse code. I remember one teacher who would use Morse code as part of a spelling lesson. You got to spell out every word if you're going to communicate in Morse code. What better way to learn to spell it than to be using it in practical application?
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
When I was in high school, I worked ham radio into an art class. I designed and silkscreen printed QSL cards for our high school radio club. You can work it into foreign languages. Obviously, if you're learning French or Spanish, and go talk to some ham who speaks French or Spanish and practice on the air. There's virtually no part of a public school curriculum that ham radio cannot help in some way.
Social studies, where you learn various cultures, and even economics, for that matter, and philosophy. You're right, it really does touch all fields of academics.
And geography. I remember doing a ham radio demo in one of our elementary schools a few years ago. I brought a big world map in with me, or we had a globe, one or the other, I forget which. But every time we made a contact, the kids would find it on the map. The map and the globe had meaning for them now. There was some use in finding Sri Lanka because we were talking to somebody there. And the same with Minnesota. And to most kids, one is as exotic as the other if you're not there. And they suddenly, you know, the geography, where are they? How far away from us are they? It had new meaning. There was a reason to be learning about geography and finding out where places were in relation to where you are. There really is no subject area that you can't work ham radio into in some way, shape, or form. Even phys ed, you can go do fox hunting.
I suppose you could. Rich, do you see amateur radio being incorporated in school today any more than it was, let's say, 10 years ago?
I'd love for it to be, but I don't see it on a large scale. One of the negative aspects of the current atmosphere in schools today and of the requirements for standardized testing across all grades is that there's a lot of pressure for doing things the same way everywhere so that everybody can pass the same tests at the end of the year. And there's not as much room for innovation as there used to be, or for doing things a little differently. It's getting more and more difficult to do something in a different way or to introduce new and different ways of teaching material. You know, I live in New Jersey, and the State Department of Education here mandates not only what should be taught, but how it should be taught in many cases. And I'm sure it's the same in other states as well. It really limits a teacher's ability or the ability of somebody from the outside to come in and incorporate a different approach to getting the curriculum taught. It's unfortunate, but it's a reality today in our perceived need for standardized tests everywhere and to measure education and accomplishment only through test scores.
With all of this emphasis on standardized testing, there seems to be little room for molding the students into having character and having ethics that used to be part of education, and now seems that there's little, if any, time for that.
I would agree, because there's so much material that needs to be covered in order to prepare for these exams that there's very little time for anything else. The flip side of that is that we've had some major problems in our education system. You have to look at objective ways of measuring education. I don't think the approach that we're doing right now is the best, but at the same time, what we were doing before wasn't so great either, and the results certainly were lacking.
So it's like the pendulum has swung too far the other direction.
One of the movements in the late 80s and early 90s was toward more independence for teachers and administrators in how they taught their curriculum each year. That seems to have been lost in the late 90s and into the first half of the 2000s. Yeah, it's a pendulum that swings back and forth. We're at one end of it now. It'll probably start swinging back in the other direction in a few years.
That was Rich Moseson, W2VU, editor of CQ Magazine. He also is the editorial director for CQ VHF and Popular Communications. Rich was interviewed by Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 to 2006, Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.